Welcome to the Assemblée Dance Studio podcast, your go-to source for bite-sized lessons in growing and running your dance studio. I'm your host, Claire O'Shea, and I'm a dance studio owner and business coach, helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. Do you love the podcast content but are looking to get a bit more one-on-one strategy? If that is the case, I really encourage you to check out our monthly masterclasses. Each month, I dive into a specific topic that is going to help you and your dance studio reach the next level. So if you're interested in finding more about that, head to assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Again, each month is a specific topic catered to you and your dance studio, all about how to grow and create a bigger, more successful, just more streamlined dance studio. And if that's something you're interested in, you can buy a one-off masterclass. So if you can sort of pick and choose to what topics suit your interest, or alternatively, you can sign up for our membership to our masterclass, which is a discounted monthly price. So whatever you are interested in joining us for, you can check that out at assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of my episodes released weekly. Hey guys, it's Claire O'Shea here, and welcome back to another episode of the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be diving deep into the new working document that I have in my business that I have a working title of, called The Playbook. And this is my studio system, basically, that is going to be a comprehensive guide for everything that goes on in my business, and it really allow me to stay across everything that's happening and to update it in a way that's more efficient, as well as be able to share this with my team to ensure they know what's going on in the studio, as well as who is responsible for what tasks, and so that there's not things falling through the cracks, which I'm going to touch on how I feel like that's been happening a little bit lately, as we've had sort of rapid growth in our business and rapid team growth as well. So if that is something that you're interested in listening to more about, stay tuned for today's episode. So, as I alluded to in the introduction of the episode, we have had sort of massive growth in our business over the last 12 months in terms of locations and student numbers, which has been very exciting, but it also has been a massive leap as well for the team. We have more than doubled our team over the last 12 months too, and with that has come like a promotion of few of our management team, and so we've got a lot more people doing important things. And I don't know, Maya is joining me today as usual.
Sorry, I'm here.
Hello. Sorry, I always forget because you're just there always. I'm like, that's confusing for me. Is not that anything that has been like majorly missed, or I've been disappointed in any way or anything like that, but there's just been like little things that I think other people have been sure, like, do I need to do this? Is this my job? Or, you know, if something didn't happen and I sort of said to someone like, oh, do you know, and they sort of like looked at me like, oh, I didn't think I had to do that. Mm. And I wrongly so just sort of thought it maybe fell under their bracket of what their job is. And even though we do have these things, we have studio systems on ClickUp, we have role descriptions, we have all these things, what I felt was that potentially we have them in different places, and that there's not sort of one place where someone can come to like have an understanding of their role and things like that. And we've been also talking and like planning for Mariah's taking leave because she's getting married this year, which is so exciting. And you know, you never know if someone needs to take off time if they're sick, or you know, they fall pregnant or things like that. So it's something that I think was becoming slightly more urgent in having sort of a place to come to have a guide if, again, people were away, what we need to train them to do, or whether as well when we're sort of promoting people into different roles, we can kind of have a really clear understanding of who's responsible for what and what that role requires, or how we're going to adapt it. And so that as we continue to expand, we're not losing quality, or we're not all double doing tasks, if that makes sense. Do you have any input, and like, do you agree, like what's your sort of thoughts on that?
I totally agree. Obviously being in the management team,
we all, yeah, it just, we see it. It's just happening because we're growing so fast. And I think sometimes it's just like, oh, is that, was that supposed to be me? Or who am I giving this to if I'm going away? Or what sort of, like, how could maybe, like, if we need more people to come onto the management team, what's a, like, a seamless way for them to just sort of join in? And how can we go about doing that with our time instead of double doing everything and having to train, like, obviously to a degree you train them a bit, but what I mean is just like everything's there and we don't have to rethink it or redo it every single time that we have something on. And I think as well with this playbook, as well as it just being like the role descriptions and what role is in everything, I think it's literally the process of how we do everything in the business, and we will all like work to put this playbook together so that it's literally how you run Dance Energy.
Yeah. Well, again, we have a lot of this information already in a variety of different places. There's just not one spot for it all to go to. And I feel like that maybe is the downfall, because when things are being updated or changed, there's not, again, there's not a process to then update it in another place. Yeah. And even for instance, when we're like onboarding new team members and stuff, we have like a loose onboarding system, but that's something that I want to really map out more and have a formal process, whether it be like a little, workshop on Kartra or something, just to ensure that if we're having people start not at the start of the year, that they are aware of everything that's going on.
Yeah. I sort of think that the ClickUp side of things that we have should be like our tasks and day-to-day things. It shouldn't be like the how to do things, if that makes sense. So for me in context, it's like map out the social media content for the month. That would be in ClickUp. But like in the playbook, it would be like how to schedule a social media post, how to come up with a strategy, what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's more of like the how to do everything, whereas ClickUp should be like the
date and the
tasks.
And I think that's where I was particularly having a bit of a roadblock, was that there's a lot of how to do it in ClickUp. And so it's up there as a task, like the process. And so there's always these tasks that look like they haven't been done, but it's really just the system.
Yeah.
But the way that and potentially there's other, you know, tasks. Platforms out there that are different, but we just it was just a bit clunky, and I was starting to get quite frustrated by it, and again, there was a few little things falling through the cracks, and it was starting to impact me, but then as well as a result everybody else. So there was things that I was having to sort of follow up that had essentially been mistakes, and I was having to rectify, which, you know, happens. But because it wasn't my job to do it in the first place, I was spending like so much time trying to figure out actually what happened first. Yeah. So a lot of time to even like get across why a mistake happened. And, you know, we always learn from our mistakes, but it sounds like I'm being negative I am a little bit, but this is sort of more constructive. We're at the point in the size of our business that I shouldn't have to do that anymore, but I am, because I haven't set up everything correctly yet. So it is my problem. And I'm aware of that, and I'm not pushing that blame onto anyone. But basically, anyway, I had an epiphany, and I also spoke with my coach, and basically, you know, as I plan to continue to like kind of shift my position and potentially promote people internally, I do just need to have this really locked down.
Yeah.
And as well, because, you know, there's positions now that are individual positions that used to be just one massive position, but as we've got so many more students, it takes so much more time to do that task.
Yeah.
So that's sort of just a bit of a background.
Yeah.
Now, it's something that I recommend, like, you know, I've gotten this far, like I've got 10 years in and not had like a playbook, and it's basically a massive guide. And it also, it's actually probably similar to when I did the interview with Jessie Byrne, how she spoke about, I can't remember what she called it, but essentially like a book or whatever they call, maybe, I don't know, I don't think she called it the playbook.
Maybe was it a manual or
something? It was just like the her manual, and it was basically
absolutely everything that went into running a business, like, you know, goodness forbid there was an accident or incident, or she had to leave tomorrow, or lost her phone and was away, that someone could essentially look at that and run the business.
Yeah.
For as long as they needed to. So that also kind of was, it was in my mind because I'd been speaking to people who had these things. But again, I've gotten to this point and not had something like this, but I feel like I've got, when I've started to work on it, I've got all the elements that are just not all in one place.
Mm.
So this is basically what I wanted to just sort of touch on today, is sort of why I'm working on this, the importance of it, and some sort of strategies to start, and like a big tip that I want to give to studio owners on sort of how to start this for them as well. And this, I'm not looking at, this is never going to be finished, because it's pretty much as soon as I get the draft, I guess, of it done, there'll be something that's changed or updated. But like there will be, I guess, times where it's like the most accurate, and at the moment it's not it. And even at the start of the playbook at the moment, like I've got the introduction, I've got the mission statement and the vision and the core values and the business goals and objectives. And again, these are things that I very openly talk to my team about, but it's not something that we think about every day or go over. It might be something that we think about more at the start of the year, for example, and then not come back to. And I think, you know, if you're going through this document and you're, you know, trying to decide or make a decision about something, you know, to think about what our mission statement is.
Yeah.
So just to give you a bit of an idea. So our mission statement I've got here is, at Dance Energy Studios, our mission is to ignite the spark within each dancer, fuel their passion for movement, and empower them to shine as confident individuals. We strive to provide innovative and personalized dance education, creating a dynamic and inclusive community where dancers of all ages and abilities can unleash their energy, express their unique styles, and grow holistically. So a lot of those sort of like key trigger words are things that we talk about a lot of the time, and I've just sort of put it into, what's that, two sentences?
Yeah.
That brings it all together. And for instance, like, I know some people think the word holistically means like herbalist, but for us it's like just the whole child.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, again, when we're making choices about, you know, are we going to start this program or on this rehearsal and things, it's like we can come back to this, and it's not always, you know, perfect, but it really is sort of, I guess, the main reason why we're doing a lot of stuff. And like, even from like a personal standpoint, I've been entering business awards again, and these are the type of the questions that they ask you a lot. And even though I feel like I know this in my like mind and my heart, when you talk about like an elevator pitch of a business, sometimes I'd get a bit like, and it's like, oh, what is our core value? And like, I do know what they are, but you need to sort of be able to like recall them and go for it. So this is a place as well that everyone can come to when they're, you know, for instance, if Mariah was doing a new marketing campaign and weren't sure where to start. Like, even reading that, there would be, you know, three or four words at least that would trigger some type of thought or potential like idea to create a marketing thing. So that's just like a little bit of an overview. And again, this with the intention of, as well, of creating like an onboarding system for our business as well. And that would be something that I would go through. Like, I would get them to read it and then to like either recap their understanding of it or, you know, share it. And then in a quiz, maybe it's like, which one is ours or something, you know, to see if they have comprehension of what our sort of goals are.
Yeah. And I think it could be, it's even like a great, if some point down the line you wanted to sell your business, you have this thing that is like how you run it.
Oh, 100%. And that's what I sort of always say to everyone, is like, we never, well, I don't have any intention of selling my business now, but you just, you know, never know, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, if all you have is a client list, there's not a lot of information. And to be honest, if I was to sell it, I also don't want to be bothered for a year of my life. Like, oh, how did you do this? How did you do that? So it's something that I think is super beneficial, just because, you know, if someone's buying the business, is going to be a transitionary period, and that's for everyone listening, it is something that to really think about, that you can add more value by having the step-by-step guide, so that someone potentially who doesn't have experience running a studio could come in and do so. So just to come back to like, I guess, some top tips and strategies I have about this. We are going to be really diving into the playbook more in our upcoming masterclass, which is on the 1st of August. Again, you can buy that as a one-off, or if you're not a subscription, you're getting that anyway. And that's on the 1st of August. And you can find more info about that at assembledancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. But we will go into, you know, specific areas of like key areas for studio systemization and where we think at least you should start, or potentially you already have this and might need to just do an update, you know, such as class scheduling, you know, student enrollment, communication protocols, financial management, which is something that a lot of people choose to ignore, as well as teacher training and like ongoing team training. I'm going to talk about, you know, documenting these processes and procedures and how you could do them and how you should do them. And this episode as well is just a bit of an overview of how to get started. So, you know, how we can document each system and process in a clear and concise way to improve communication between your team members, to facilitate staff training. So once you have these processes as well, that sort of becomes almost like a blueprint for a training, and ensuring consistent operations, which again, you have probably heard from before. That was something I noticed. And we are still doing, everyone's doing a really good job, but it just wasn't as consistent as I would like. I was just noticing a few little more hiccups that weren't pleasing me, basically. And then customizing them for your studio. So even though there would be some like standard operating procedures and things that would be, you know, relevant for a lot of dance studios, tailoring them to fit your specific needs and the culture of your business is really, really important. So we could talk, we're going to talk about how to adapt these templates, and where you can find these templates and what resources are out there, so you're sort of doing this in a most time efficient way, because honestly this could take forever, and it's something I've been working on almost every day. You know, some days it sounds so exciting, but like, you know, just after dinner sitting on the couch with a cup of tea, just jumping into my standard operating procedures.
But can you imagine like the feeling when you're done? Well, not done, but like when you've gotten that sort of, you know, all the processes. No,
I can't imagine.
Why?
Because it seems like something that's going to really take me a long time.
Yeah, it will. But once it's there, oh my gosh.
And this, another thing I'm going to say is that a key aspect of this is that I have no choice but to involve my staff, because I am now to a point where I don't actually know how they do certain things.
Yeah.
So whilst I'm like making like sections for like social media or Facebook advertising and stuff, I don't know how it's done anymore. So then I'll have to say, hey, Mariah, when you're doing X next, can you please document the processes? And I've already been hounding people about that. Like for instance, we just had our winter camp last week, and I had done up sort of, again, a standard operating procedure, the before, the running, like how I expected the venues to be set up, what the teachers need to do, like before and after care, activities, like it was like how to clean, like it was quite a lot. But because it was happening, I said, hey, can everyone read this, add your own notes, and then that document will be like either linked or is a as a template within our playbook.
Yes.
So there's so many, like, there's so many things. But again, as we continue to expand and I envision the future, there might be a third or a fourth venue running with our winter camps. If I don't have this, I can't, like, I will never, ever, ever have a break, because I will just constantly be getting messages like,
and redoing the same thing year after year to like different people.
Oh, exactly. And so, although like, we probably, our team is very, loyal, and you know, we have people stay for years and years and years, and so there is a lot of consistency. They might do it year after year, but often as well, like they've progressed to a different role, or you know, they might be away for that 1 week that we run them everywhere. So again, just if we're onboarding new people, to have this there at least as a starting point for them, save so much time and can allow you as a business owner to feel really comfortable and assured that there is certain procedures going on, like, you know, students are there, are they being followed up? If someone's sick, what's the protocol and things like that? And then again, how to regularly evaluate that. And I have, again, I'm not to the point where I have been doing this yet, because that's not finished. So I might have to set myself some you know, reminders and parameters? Like, what do you think is like a realistic or a good amount of review? Like every quarter, every 6 months? What do you think?
I think every quarter or every time, say specifically if it's an event, I think it needs to be checked at it. Each event, make sure it's still accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Once we're starting it or going to do it, we just like look at that and make sure it's how we still want to do things. But as a whole, I would say like, I would say to start out quarterly just to make sure because everything's changing so fast. Quarterly is a really great time because we're changing and growing, they're changing and growing too, and until we sort of get to that point where it's, I don't know, does it ever stay the same? You know, you reach a certain point.
Yeah. I guess like the foundation of what we're doing is always staying the same.
Yeah.
But like, again, a part of our motto and is striving for excellence. So we're always looking for ways to add more wow factor. Yeah. And like, I'm just going to be completely honest, and I'm sure so many studio owners listening to this can relate. I feel like the like baseline or the expectation now from parents is just so much higher. Mm. So if I had done what we do in business now, like 15 years ago, I would have been top. And I feel like we are really good at what we do. I know we are really good at what we do.
Yeah.
But I know we're not like double or triple or four times. Like when we're just sort of doing what we need to do to have a really good business. But it's nothing like.
Yeah. Some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even like nothing like some. Like I feel like we're doing a lot. But
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I just feel like people's expectations are just so different in this day and age.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I just want to talk about how I'm using AI to help me, because we all know how obsessed with AI I am. So I am using ChatGPT to help me do this.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Well, I have a pretty short attention span for one. And also if I have very minor roadblocks, sometimes I can get pooped with something and end up just – I'll find a task that I can do quickly.
Yeah.
So I'll go into Slack and reply to messages or I'll go in and clear out my inbox or, you know, and it's just silly, but it's just who I am.
Yeah.
But I'm using ChatGPT as essentially like my assistant. So if you don't know about ChatGPT, there's previous episodes about it as well as a masterclass that you can check out, like obsessed. but ChatGPT, I know some people haven't had a lot of success with it, and I feel like it's because our studio owners aren't using, or people aren't using the right prompts and aren't educating it in a way that's going to help you, which is sounds so bizarre, but you really – there is – like a way to use ChatGPT to educate it first to then help you. So basically I started – every time you start a new chat in GPT, it basically doesn't remember anything. Mm. So you can't refer to previous chats or anything. So I have like in my notes section like a bit of a bio about Ensemble, about the studio, about like our intentions. And again, now I've started to create that mission statement and everything within my playbook. I can literally copy that back into ChatGPT to tell it who we are, what we do, et cetera, et cetera. And then ask ChatGPT if it has any questions, answer its questions and say, keep asking me questions until you basically don't have any more, like what do you need to know about my business?
Yeah.
And then I spoke to it about like, it sounds crazy, but like the issues that I felt like we were having and that I wanted to create a complete studio systems operating procedures guide.
Mm-hmm.
And what did it think, like in relation to, you know, businesses it knows around the world, like what would need to be included?
That's crazy.
And it outlined, you know, most of the things I thought. And then I said like, oh, what about this? And it was like, oh, it gave me some props. Oh, great idea. Like definitely that's something we should include. And it would edit it. So it said essentially then it created like an outline.
Yeah.
And again, if you Googled, you would find probably more of this out there, but the interaction is sort of what I need to like keep going.
Yeah.
And so then basically I said, okay, awesome. Like now we have this outline, we're going to work through this together. And I'm going to feed the information and it's going to either, you know, sometimes reword it or like say if I have a big paragraph and I just want it in simple to read dot points or something. So it's essentially helping me to reformat, which is a massive time saver. This still, like I've been working on this for, maybe only like a few weeks now, quite a few hours each week. I can imagine it's going to take me many more weeks. But if I didn't use AI, it would take me a year probably. By the time I've worked through everything and tested it out, it would take me that. So then I'm working through each section with ChatGPT. And when I don't have the information like I need from my team or et cetera, I'll just highlight that in the Google Doc and keep sort of moving forward. I'm trying to really not let something hold me back from moving forward. Yeah. The other AI I'm interested in using that I haven't used yet but it's been recommended to me is something called Scribe. Now this is a browser extension on Chrome essentially that creates processes for you. Mm. Now I'm still in the testing this out and it's something I will come back to share more about, but feel free to check it out. It's called Scribe on Google Chrome and essentially you set it up and install it and then when you're doing something like writing an email or I feel like doing a process on how you do your process is a little meta, but like, you know, you say for instance you could or like I could do a process on how I write my podcast notes.
Yeah.
It essentially you start it and it starts like recording what you're doing and it records a video and then it, right. I don't know how, but it writes the steps that you're doing and distills it down all into a process without you having to do it because the amount of hours I spend doing that is insane. So that's just a little top tip for you guys. I don't know, Mariah, I feel like I've been talking for a really long time.
But all very valid points and very helpful.
Is there anything that you think that studio owners might be thinking or wanting to ask or that haven't covered properly?
I just think what I would say to help is even if you don't have a full team or anything like that, this is just something really good to start. Just to like when you're doing something, start a doc of how you did it because your future self will thank you because it's as you grow or as you add on another employee or it's just going to be such a tool that is going to help you guys move forward and be way more efficient. So I think even just as you're going about your day to day, take that little bit of extra time now to write out how you did things and what the process is. And I think it will really, really benefit you in the future.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. Like I said, this is just a bit of an overview. And again, I'm sort of talking about this before. I'm not an expert in this whatsoever, but I'm just saying this is what I've been struggling with. It might be something you're struggling with. This is something that I'm working on as like a project for the business. And if I talk to people about how many staff I have, I think sometimes they wonder what I do in a day. And so these type of things take so much time, but are really detrimental in the efficiency and the overall success of the business.
Yeah.
So it's of the utmost importance. So that's something that I'm currently working on in, you know, with other stuff.
Yeah.
If you are wanting to know more about that, we do have our Studio Systems Masterclass coming up. What date is that, Miss Mariah?
The Studio Systems one is the 1st of August.
The 1st of August. So just a little bit of a behind the scenes. I'm currently recording this in July. So by the time our Systems Masterclass comes around, I'll be another month ahead. I will still be including elements of this in the masterclass, but there'll be, again, more templates, more of an overview on other areas that we have a lot more experience and history with and we want to sort of share with our listeners, again, either on how to start or how to update or how to become the master of your own systems, processes, Amazing. So thank you so much for joining us today. Again, if you want to catch that masterclass, head to Assemble Dance Studio Coaching /masterclass. But if not, there's other episodes that you'd be able to listen to about that and the importance of creating a sort of guide or playbook or whatever you want to call it in your dance studio, and how I believe it's going to really help us streamline and grow and be more efficient and have less little hiccups as time goes on. So thank you so much for joining me today, Mariah.
No worries.
And thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I look forward to speaking with you soon. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Assemble Dance Studio Coaching Podcast with your host, me, Claire O'Shea. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it on your stories on Instagram and tag the show, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Assemble Dance Studio Coaching. Tune in next week for another episode all about helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully, so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. See you then.